All right. We better go.
Yeah, we better get going. We just want to give you a chance to join us this morning. So, all right, Dennis Victor from India, of course. Yep, good to see you. All right, thumbs, hearts, share, be a social media missionary. So here we go. Living on purpose. This is part 8. We've been at this for 2 months now. We've been talking about going from mediocrity to maturity. Mm-hmm. 2 Peter chapter 1 has been our anchor passage of scripture that we've been unpacking. And the promise to us for living on purpose. We've been talking about these four great promises. And so, do you remember them?
Well,
you're looking at notes.
Yeah.
So, first of all, he said, if you operate in these purposes, if you will, if you live on purpose, number one, you're not going to be barren. Number two, you're not going to be unfruitful. Mm-hmm. Number three, you're never going to stumble, meaning you're never going to lose your faith to the point of just abandoning it. Mm-hmm. And then fourth and finally, the one we always seem to highlight the most is that when you live on purpose, you're going to be given an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God, where you hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah, but you've got to be diligent about these things. That's why it says be diligent in these. They don't just happen. You've got to be diligent. You've got to be determined. You've got to be focused and intentional. And then these promises of living on purpose will be realized in your life. Okay, so we're going to read again, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. We'll have Sarah read it, and then we'll unpack the final purpose today. We're at the last one. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Here you go.
But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love.
All right, so there's our list of purposes, if you will. And now today we're at the last one, which is love. Be diligent to add love to your spiritual life and to apprehend it. Now, if you remember last week, we talked about brotherly kindness, which was really brotherly love. It's the Greek word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, right? Philadelphia is the Greek word for brotherly kindness. The root word is phileo, and it means that family affection. But now today, Peter adds to having that type of love another love, which is the highest form of love, which is agape or agapeo, depending on the form of the word. But we're talking about love, agape love, charity, benevolence. It's the highest form of love. Again, it's above and beyond. And this is really important to get today because of this passage we're going to look at. It's above and beyond brotherly kindness or any other type of love. Okay, it's the ultimate love. It's been called the God love before. So there is no better distinction given in all of the scripture between phileo and agape than in John's gospel chapter 21. Now, before we read this, so you can see what's happening here, This is after the resurrection. This is Jesus and Peter having a conversation. And unless you're digging in and seeing what word is used, you can just read it and miss the whole point. I love this passage of scripture. Now, again, we're talking about adding love, agape, as the final hallmark, the ultimate thing that we're to be diligent about adding in our life. But I want you to see this. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. This is after Jesus is resurrected and he's having a conversation with Peter. He's got some questions for Peter. And again, remember, Peter's writing 2 Peter. He's going through this list in his mind, I'm convinced, of the pivotal moments in his life. And when you see what happens here in John 21, you're going to go say two things. Yes, this is pivotal. And number two, no wonder it's the climax of it all, right? Yeah. So listen to this, beloved. John 21, 15 through 17.
So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep."
So
I love this.
So we read it in English and we just go, okay, so Jesus is just asking him three different times, "Do you love me?" Oh my gosh, y'all, it is so much more. This is remarkable. So if you break this down in the Greek language, you see this wordplay going on between agape love and phileo love, the ultimate God love and brotherly love, familial love. Nothing wrong with familial love, but there's an agape love that exceeds that. Mm-hmm. And here's what's going on. In verse 15, the first verse that Sarah read, Jesus asked Peter, "Hey, Peter, do you agape me?
Yeah.
Do you have ultimate God love for me?"
Mm-hmm.
And Peter responds and says, "Lord, I phileo you.
Yeah.
I have brotherly affection for you."
Mm-hmm.
Now, just side, there's so much in this. Just a little sidebar on Peter. You know, Peter's the one who's always going to stand up and speak up and give the right answer to the question or say the right thing. And, you know, but he blunders a lot. I can relate to Peter, right? So you remember, what would be one of our first examples would be, "Who do men say that I am?" Right? And then Peter gets it right.
Yeah.
In Matthew 16.
Yeah.
"You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so he crushes it, gets the right answer.
Yeah.
And then just that fast, he gets it wrong again and rebukes Jesus for Jesus saying he's going to go to the cross.
Yeah.
And then what's the next thing on Peter's list? Peter's list would be around the fire, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, "Lord, I'll never deny you. You know, they can kill me." And, you know, he's just got this bravado giving the right answer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's a few hours later. He's going, "I don't even know Jesus and he's nothing special to me."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like that fast.
Yeah.
Just so Peter here, there's a dynamic that's going on here where Jesus is prying into the heart of Peter to see if Peter will like finally be honest about where he's really at to see if he learned his lesson from giving, quote, the right answer to giving the truthful answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got to get what's going on here. There's so much. Verse 15, so Jesus says, "Peter, do you agape me?" Peter says, "Lord, the truth is," I mean, I could paraphrase, "I phileo you. I have brotherly affection for you."
Mm-hmm.
Verse 16, the second time, Jesus says again, "Peter, do you agape me?" And Peter responds and says, "Lord, you know I phileo you."
Mm-hmm.
Then Jesus asks him the third time, and this is where Jesus switches words on him. And he says to him, "Peter, do you even phileo me? Do you even have brotherly affection for me?" And now here's where you can see the tension and the intrusion into Peter's heart and mind by Jesus. Then Peter responds and says, he's frustrated, he's grieved because he's getting called out. And he said, "Lord, you know the truth. The truth of the matter is, I phileo you."
Yeah.
That's where I'm at, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
No, do I have the ultimate form of love for you? And can I honestly say that I love you with every fiber of my being? And, you know, just the typical bravado answer that Peter would give. Peter says, "Listen, I'm frustrated about this, but I've learned my lesson. I'm not given the right answer this time. I'm given the truthful answer.
I love that.
Dude, can you imagine this? Now, think about this. Number one, Jesus made it clear. Are you awake with me this morning?
I am. I'm listening a lot.
I'm preaching too much this morning.
Yeah.
So Jesus made it clear, friends, that agape is the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
That's where we need to be walking in. But we're not always.
Yeah.
Right? So Jesus, number one, Jesus made it clear that agape was the goal. Number two, Peter made it clear that he was falling short.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But then Jesus, beloved, I want you to hear this way in your spirit. But then Jesus made it clear that Peter wasn't disqualified.
Yeah.
Think about,
You know what? I've never thought of this before, and having walked with the Lord for years.
Decades.
I've known the truth about, you know, the proper translation of these words and such, but I'd never thought of this before, that Jesus was qualified because he was honest.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's just another way to look at it. It's not like, gosh, you're not disqualified only because you phileo me.
Mm-hmm.
You're qualified because you are being very, very honest about the deepest things in your heart.
Yeah.
You know, so that's pretty precious.
Yeah.
You know.
And so think about this now, friends. In any time or season of your life,
mm-hmm.
honesty with God about where your heart is the best thing mm-hmm. that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Because newsflash, he knows anyway.
Yeah.
He knows anyway.
Yeah.
So why would we ever mm-hmm. try to play games with God
mm-hmm.
and pretend that we're not, you know, somewhere that we really aren't?
Yeah.
Because he knows anyway.
Yeah.
And I love the honesty of this probing passage, because Jesus is probing, looking for the answer. But then Peter finally gets it.
Mm-hmm.
We see the growth in Peter's own life
mm-hmm.
where he's going to live with virtue.
Yeah.
You know, the second thing that we looked at. He's going to be honest. There's going to be some moral excellence. He's going to answer it. Now, something else about this thing too. We mentioned earlier, how many times did Jesus deny Peter? Three. How many times
I'm too tired to remember what he's talking about.
Yeah, no. When Peter denied Jesus sitting around the campfire,
right.
The young girl,
mm-hmm.
Peter denies Jesus three times.
I thought you'd said Jesus
did. I may have.
I'm going, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Peter denies Jesus three times.
Yeah.
How many times does Jesus ask Peter, do you love me?
Three.
Three times.
There's a few other threes, right?
Between
Peter and Jesus.
The next three in Peter's life mm-hmm. is in the book of Acts, where the sheet came down
mm-hmm.
and he had the vision and realized
mm-hmm.
that the gospel was open to mm-hmm. Gentile believers.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that he had the vision, he saw the sheet drop down three times.
Uh-huh.
So listen, some of us, we don't do good with one time.
Well, and Job talks about that.
Or two times, or three, three times. Sometimes we're bullheaded enough, you know.
Yeah.
It takes Jesus repeating these things mm-hmm. to us. We have to repeat and be reminded until we finally get to the point of being honest mm-hmm. about where we're at. So, again, going back to the original thing, add to your brotherly kindness your familial kind of love,
mm-hmm.
add to your brotherly kindness, agape,
mm-hmm.
because Jesus is wanting to know where we're at.
Yeah.
He's setting the standard for us
mm-hmm.
that as wonderful as brotherly kindness is, we need to add to that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to add to that agape, charity, benevolence, that ultimate kind of God love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, God can handle us being honest. Let's do that, as Sarah was saying. It doesn't disqualify any of us. Thank the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't disqualify any of us from ministry, because with each answer that Peter gave, what did Jesus respond with? feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my lambs. Mm-hmm. You're not disqualified for being honest. When you're honest, you're actually positioning yourself for further growth.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in Peter's life. Now, we're going to wrap this up. I feel like I am because, you know, the poor Sarah here's got to deal with me this morning. But I want to end with an interesting observation. And I'm telling you that I've seen this in my own life. So this is confession time this morning. And I'm grateful for God's word because it does confront us, right? It does confront us times about where we're at. Now listen to me, friends, about love and about agape love specifically. In Matthew 24:12, Jesus says these words, because lawlessness will abound. And he's talking about in the end times. Mm-hmm. Because lawlessness will abound. Listen now. The love of many, the agape of many, will grow cold. Mm-hmm. What's Jesus saying? He's given us a warning for those of us who are living now in the end times, that because there's going to be so much lawlessness, so much disregard for the law, for morality, for righteousness, there's going to be such a disregard for that, that there is going to be a temptation for followers of Jesus, for their love to grow cold. Mm-hmm. Because you just get sick and tired of seeing the wickedness over and over and over again. And the wicked doing things that are more blasphemous and foul than ever before. Mm-hmm. No, friends, I don't need to convince you of this. You see it. When there are church services now that are for transgender drag queen participants praying and saying blasphemous prayers, and they're there celebrating it. It's like, dude, we've crossed a new line as a society. There is a new level of wickedness when you have drag queen pastors and transgender congregations mocking God, blaspheming God while they applaud. Yeah. Like as a follower of Jesus, I look at it and I go, oh my gosh, like that breaks my heart and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, if I don't keep it in check, I lose love for those people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you are foul and wicked and blasphemous, and you deserve every bit of hell that you're going to get. Mm. And, you know, you got to keep that in check, man.
Yeah.
Because what I noticed in my own heart, right, is my love for the lost, the profoundly lost, the blasphemer, my love for them can grow cold. Mm-hmm. Instead of just looking at it and going, yeah, what you're doing is wicked, mm-hmm. I can look at it and go, you know what? You're not only wicked, but I don't even care that you're going to burn in hell because you're so wicked. Ooh. Yeah. No, like, mm-hmm. like dude, I saw this guy holding a sign the other day, and he said, I mean, I hate even putting language to this, but like, you've got to know, as a culture, y'all, around the world, mm-hmm. we've crossed a new line of blasphemy and foulness. Saw this guy carrying a sign. He said, when Jesus comes back, let's kill him again. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that? That level of blasphemy. Mm-hmm. And so as much as we want to love people and love them into the kingdom mm-hmm. and speak the truth in love and all that stuff, if you're anything I don't want to use words good and bad, but just for sake of ease this morning, if your heart can be as bad as mine is when it comes to these types of issues, you realize you've got to be intentional mm-hmm. about not letting your agape grow cold.
Yeah, you know, I was telling Rue earlier, you guys, in different translations, it says the love of many will wax cold.
Yeah.
And I've always, you know, I'm a visual learner, so I don't know if this is what it literally means, I imagine, but Wax, if it's far from the flame, candle wax, of course, grows cold. So in my mind, it was always about staying close to the flame, staying close to Jesus.
Do you know how frustrating this is? Like, I'm here delivering this for the last 25 minutes, and Sarah says the best thing all morning with her little art analogy.
Well,
that's the most brilliant, perfect thing
and
ever.
And I don't even know if that's the right Greek translation of it, wax cold, you know, it's King James, I guess. But
makes sense.
But it makes sense. It's like you have to stay near the flame. And the other thing that I would say to you guys is, you know, pay attention to your dreams. You know, if you have lucid dreams, I just want to draw attention to that, because in dreams, I find myself loving really wicked people. And I, when I awake in the morning, I'm just going, that is Christ in me, the hope of glory, enabling me to love somebody. And so there's something that happens in the midst of a God dream, not just an everyday dream, but a lucid dream from the Lord that literally changes you. You wake up and you go, oh my gosh, yesterday I was so disheartened and I discouraged about, you know, what I saw in the news or whatever, but today I feel different. So anyhow, just pay attention to how the Holy Spirit visits you in that regard too.
Yeah. So stay close to the flame so that your love doesn't wax cold.
Yeah.
Okay. Receive love from Jesus yourself. Mm-hmm. Right? You can't give what you've never received. Receive love from Jesus yourself, and then give that love from Jesus to other people. Mm-hmm. And be intentional and keep it in check and make sure. Listen, loving doesn't mean you agree with them. Loving doesn't mean they get a pass. Loving just means I'm not going to allow your sin to cause me to not show the love of Christ to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the challenge, okay?
Yeah.
Matthew 10:18, Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give.
Mm-hmm.
We've received the love of God in our own lives for free.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we need to freely give it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a wrap for today. And we'll see you next Monday back from Tennessee. We won't have to get up at 4.
Yep.
We'll be able to get up at 5, 6. Anyway, so beloved, be diligent to add agape. Don't just stop at Phileo or Philadelphia, but be diligent to add to brotherly kindness, love, agape. Let's do it. All right, let's pray together this morning and then go love somebody. Like, I want to find somebody where I can show and share the love of God. Like, be intentional about it today.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to bed tonight without loving someone
mm-hmm.
with agape today in Jesus' name. So, Father, we pray for the precious people of God. We pray for the family of God, that we would be able to walk in the love of God. Lord, when we don't, we pray that we'd be able to be honest about where we're at
mm-hmm.
so that we could position ourselves, Lord, to be used by you and to experience you really in a greater way. And
mm-hmm.
so, Father, bless your precious people today.
Yes.
May we find that person, that project,
mm-hmm.
where we can show the love of God, the beautiful love of God, the redeeming love of God to somebody. We love you this morning, Lord, even in all of its imperfection or lack, even though it's not always at the greatest, highest level. Lord, we do tell you today that we love you and we want to love you more.
Yes, yes, Jesus.
So use us today, Father. Help us experience you
mm-hmm.
and help us, Lord, stay close to the flame so that we don't wax cold. Thank you for speaking that to us this morning. God, we love you in Jesus' name. All right, beloved, we're so grateful for you to join us and to share it. Like, share it. Be a social media missionary. And then we'll see you next Monday.